This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your writer, your performer, your author and reader, your host, Mike Luoma. Welcome to another episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Last week, we began doing actual book chapters of my new novel, The Star Seeds of Earth, which will be out towards the end of this month. The official release date is May 22nd. So you are hearing the actual chapters from the book now. Last week, it was three chapters, 19, 20, and 21. In this episode, it's going to be another three. I've got a long one, 22, and then 23 and 24, each on the shorter side. About 20 minutes worth of story. That's what I do try to bring you on Glow in the Dark Radio each week. And man, yeah, I am a DIY writer and publisher. So all my stuff is done by myself, and I've been DIYing like crazy over the last 2 weeks, working on the audiobook. The stuff, the chapters you're hearing on this podcast, I have been working all the way out to the end of the book, preparing it, because I got to get it up onto Audible soon. I still think it's going to be a little bit late, because they are running behind, but I will see what they can do. But yes, I am putting the finishing touches on the book in all its forms this weekend. Today, Sunday, as I record this, it's almost 6 o'clock East Coast time. But I have spent my entire day pretty much laying out the paperback interiors and doing some final polishing, too. There were things I was like, oh, I can fix. Anyway, I don't want to go into detail about what I was doing. Being DIY, I can do last-minute changes, and I was, because I was finding things I still wanted to tweak, just slightly. But the audio is entirely recorded now, the whole book, to the end. It is edited within an hour and about 40 minutes, 46 minutes, something like that. So I still have about an hour and 46 minutes to edit, and I'm going to get back to that once I finish this podcast. It was like, I don't want to stop and podcast. And I was like, well, people should know what you're doing, you know? Okay. Because otherwise I'm just, you know, laboring on my own here. It starts to get really kind of crazy. I don't know. Doing other people's audiobooks is fine. I do that all the time. Very sane. But when it's your own audiobook, so you're doing your own work and it's just constantly, and I wasn't taking that many breaks. I mean, yeah, okay. I stopped to watch Curse of Oak Island and the Drilling Down with William Shatner, because it was, you know, the last episode of the season. And, you know, I do my radio show every day for WBKM, which you can listen to at WBKM.org. Noontime is when I start, Eastern time. So I was still doing that, but for the most part, every other hour of my day was spent doing the audiobook here and recording and editing. So yeah, I started to feel like Ahab, with the audiobook being my own personal great white whale that I was hunting down and trying to kill. And I knew that I was going to get that harpoon in it this weekend. And God damn it, I did. I'll tell you. But yeah, still some editing to go. The cover has been designed, the front cover, for quite some time. But now that I know the size of the spine. I've got to design the spine and the back cover for the paperback. Got to create the ebook versions. I didn't do those interiors. I just did the paperback because that takes the most time, the paperback. It's funny, you know, people doing their own self-publishing, when they're doing paperbacks, sometimes they think, oh, it'll look better in print. No, no, it never does. It has to look great on your computer because that's how it's going to look in print. Just let me tell you that. It doesn't magically look better. As a self-publisher, that's one thing I try to reinforce to people when I do panels and things, because, you know, I do end up on a lot of those. It's like, you know what you want to do. You really need to make sure that it looks great before you hit the go button. In all forms, and so, you know, reads great and everything else. But, yep, killing that great white whale. There is book news besides that stuff. I guess that's a whole big chunk of news. But the Authors Give Back book sale continues over at smashwords.com. I'm very pleased to see people buying second, third books, you know, fourth books. It makes me happy. Because, you know, I was seeing that at first. People are getting Vatican Assassin, Alibi Jones, and, you know, Sunrise of Her, and Vatican Ambassador, and now they're getting, you know, Vatican Abdicator and the later books. So I think this, you know, people are discovering Alibi Jones because of this sale, which is pretty cool. I'm giving away all my ebooks through the end of May. I will not be giving the brand new book that you're listening to away. That's going to be my moneymaker. No, but it's going to be my thing that'll be on sale come May 22nd. But I am continuing to give away all my books at Smashwords through May 31st. More details are at the very top of glowinthedarkradio.com, so just head over there for more details. And if you can, if you're inspired to, I would love to have your support of this podcast as a patron. You can do that over at patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. And there's three different tiers of support. You can become a $2 a month supporter, $5 a month supporter, or $10 a month supporter. I wasn't able to do anything special for patrons this week, but I will in the coming weeks. I was just working flat out this week, which is why nothing special happened. But they did get chapter one of the new audiobook a month early last week. And more to come, as I say. Well, as we get ready for the story, this week's story in the Star Seeds of Earth, this week's chapters, Finder was just at the Hornet's Nest telling Alibi. Alibi was sitting on his ass, not looking for a star seed. Kit has returned, which is cool. Now, coming up in this episode, Alibi's going to check in with his Aunt Anita, which he hasn't done for a while. And Krish will be revealing a surprise about the Hornet's Nest he's discovered. And he's going to be giving Alibi a lead on a starseed. Kit also has his own surprise for Alibi. And we'll check in with Hap and Ruth, because they're so much fun. We'll be getting into the story next with Chapter 22 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. But before we do, and speaking of DIY, I want to thank the folks, JC and Cindy, for the mention on the Fix at Home Improvement podcast once again, giving a little love to Glow in the Dark Radio. Now, you know, we have two different podcasts, very different things that we cover, but we are at heart DIYers. We do things ourselves. Their thing is home improvement. Mine is putting out science fiction and comics. Well, tell them, JC.
Hi, I'm JC. My co-host Cindy and I host the Fix It Home Improvement Podcast. We cover projects that every homeowner should know and top-rated products for home and garden. And for fans of Mike, we keep you posted on new smart home systems and products like robot vacuums and robot lawnmowers that seemed like science fiction not too long ago. You can check it out on your favorite podcast app. It's Fix It, F-I-X-I-T, Home Improvement.
Now here's chapter 22 of The Star Seeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. He had a point, Alibi said. You are not just sitting on your ass, Alibi, Anita said. And I don't believe Finder is one to lecture on work habits, judging by his character. And even if he was, why should you listen to him? She was a little disappointed she had to clarify this for him. Anita noticed him looking around her place. It had been a while since he'd been in here. She smiled. Things were, finally, actually starting to grow. Walk with me, Alibi. Anita picked up her watering can and began making her circuit around the arboretum. Alibi had to follow her to keep up their conversation, as she tended to and watered her new growth around the spacious room. I got the AD Foster running again, Alibi said, but it feels like I should be out there with them. I know, she said, as she puttered along. You know, Alibi said. You'll get over it, she said. It will just feel like you're missing out on something for a little while. It goes away. You're sure about that? No, she said, looking up from weeding with a smile. Your mileage may vary. Thanks. Thank you for asking, his aunt said. I haven't seen much of you lately. Been busy, he said. So have you. Well then, see? You're not just sitting on your ass, are you? She said. You have a point on, Anita, he said. Maybe you're right where you need to be. Alibi's wand alarm pinged, and he fished it out of his pocket. He looked at it and put it away. Sorry, Alibi said. I gotta go on, Anita. Good to see you. He leaned in and gave her a smooch on the cheek. Then he sprang up and ran across the dirt towards the door. Don't step on any plants, Alibi, she called after him. I won't, he called back. She watched. He seemed to manage not to trample any of her fresh growth as he jogged. Anita had seen that the message was from Krish, but she couldn't read any more of Alibi's wand's screen from her vantage point, and neither of them were telling her anything. Not now. Not anymore. Nothing. Which was fine. She had her plants, after all. And Bill, now. He'd be back again soon. And Alibi had at least come by for a visit and to ask her opinion. That was better than nothing. Still, the thought nagged at her. What did Krish want?
What do you have, Krish? Alibi asked as he entered Krish's lab.
Two things. First, a contact, Krish said. From my sources. A connection we might make. To finally get you a starseed.
You don't sound sure about this, Alibi said.
Well, Krish began, then stopped. I am not. But I am sure that if I tell you about this connection, you will want to make it. And I am not sure that it is at all wise.
So you're trying to make the decision for me? Alibi asked, a little heat in his voice.
I'm not 12 anymore, Krish. Between you and my aunt, jeesh.
Oh no, Alibi, Krish protested. I am merely trying to figure out how to tell you about it, and not make it sound so, well, enticing.
It sounds enticing?
Yes, Krish said, sighing. And somewhat dangerous.
Alibi waited for more.
Oh, come on.
And? Alibi said, dragging out the word.
And, Krish said.
Alibi did his best imitation of his Aunt Anita's get on with it look. Tell me about it, Krish.
There is a renegade sector with a starseed who has agreed to speak to you, Krish said. But it has to be you, and only you.
Only me.
He wants to meet the Alibi Jones, Krish said.
Now, that doesn't sound suspicious at all, does it?
Do you know why? Alibi asked. Why me?
They didn't say, Krish said. My sources could not elaborate when I asked.
I'm not sure I like the sound of this, Alibi said.
It is wise to be cautious, Krish said.
Do we have a name? Alibi asked.
They are called the Heretic, Krish said. They are a sectar leader who is, covertly, a fan of chaos. They keep their identity unknown.
The Heretic? That does sound good.
Ooh, Alibi said. Yep, now I want to go.
Yes, I thought those last bits might be the enticing part, Chris said. It may be a chance to learn more about the secta, and maybe find out some weaknesses.
Imagine that. The Greater Ta might have some weaknesses.
Just the fact they all might not be uniformly for order is news, Alibi said. A crack in the armor, you know? Let's do it. See if you can set it up.
Do we have a safe, secure place we can offer for the meeting?
I'm sure they won't want to come here.
No, they will not, I'm sure, Krish agreed. Let me see if I can find a secure location. Somewhere near her, I think. Near to the Greater Ta, but on the Solar Alliance side.
I'm not sure the Solar Alliance side isn't the Greater Ta's side now as well, Alibi said.
You do have a point, Krish said.
Wish I didn't, Alibi said. So, what was the second thing?
Oh, come with me.
They left the lab. Krish led him through long abandoned corridors, out to a part of the Hornet's Nest rarely used, the secondary command center and the directional engines room. The command center was a backup, just in case, built-in military redundancy left over from its days as a base. The engines room didn't see much use, as the Hornet's Nest hadn't used its small, directional, attitudinal engines in some time. This was one of the things Alibi had Krish looking into.
Maybe Krish has those directional engines working.
I have been up here a bunch lately, Krish said. I think it is the first human habitation this area has seen in some time. It feels empty.
No one comes up here, Alibi said.
Well, I do now, Krish said. But this isn't what I want to show you. Come with me down this corridor.
He led Alibi out of the engine room.
He sounds excited. What's up?
The corridor ended in a blank wall, a steel plate.
That's a dead end, Alibi said.
Yes, I thought so too, Krish said. But this bulkhead moves. See? Slider.
Krish punched a control on the wall. The bulkhead plate moved out of the way to the right, exposing darkness ahead.
No way, Alibi said, shocked. This isn't on the plans.
It's not on the station's finished plans, no, Krish said. This part was never completed, although it is pressurized. I asked Emily to do some digging, and she discovered that this section is on the base's preliminary plans. Come.
Krish stepped past the bulkhead. The lights came up, and Krish marched ahead down the continuing corridor. Alibi found himself jogging a little to follow.
Up here on the left is an entire second power plant. Evidently finished early on, but rarely used, Krish said, pointing and playing Ersatz's tour guide. My guess is they built both of the station's power plants at the same time. I was able to bring it back to life, which is why we have lights and air in here now.
A second power plant?
Oh, that's not all, Krish said. You see, they needed the second power plant for the engines.
Really? Alibi said. They built all of this just for our directional engine system?
Not exactly, Krish said. There is more to show you. Come, Alibi, over here.
Krish led him to a room on the right. As the lights came on, Alibi saw it was another engine room. Two of the walls were covered in controls and monitors. The other two walls were transparent, impenetrable darkness on the other side.
Another engine room, Alibi said.
For the other engines, Krish said.
The other engines? What other engines?
The main engines, Krish said. And the transpace drive.
What?
They built these rooms, but they never finished building the engines themselves, Krish said.
He walked over to a panel next to the door and hit a control. The lights came up on the other side of the transparent walls, revealing a giant, empty space carved from the asteroid rock, a space where four giant engines could sit and, once the outer wall was removed, blast the hornet's nest through space.
They were going to make it mobile? Alibi said. The hornet's nest was supposed to be a fully mobile base?
They tried to, Krish said. But, as you see, they gave up. I would suspect budget cuts, because I always do. But they blamed it on the density of the surrounding asteroid field, said it was too great a risk to move. That was something else Emily's research turned up.
Did I just hear my name? Emily asked, as she walked into the second engine room.
You did, Krish said. I was filling Alibi in on why they didn't finish these engines, talking about your research.
Alibi turned to Emily.
I had no idea this was here.
No one did, Emily said. They must have been embarrassed about it, or someone was covering their ass with the brass. Conveniently disappeared from the records after they abandoned it.
Well, you know what this means, Alibi said.
More living space to adapt with less drilling and excavating? Emily said.
Nah, plenty of other space here for that, Alibi said. We have to build these engines. Make the hornet's nest mobile.
Did you not hear the part about asteroid density?
Krish asked. You know how it can be flying into here, into the base, Emily said. Imagine trying to pilot this through that.
I am, Alibi said. He daydreamed. It's pretty damn cool.
You think you could do it, Emily said, doubt dripping from her words.
Gotta be a way, Alibi said.
Does that mean you want to pursue this? Emily said.
Absolutely, Alibi said. Actually, I want you and Krish to pursue it. I'm glad to see you two working together.
She seemed like the logical person to go to,
Krish said, almost apologetically.
She's smarter than all of us, Alibi said, cracking a smile at Emily.
God, you are a horrible suck-up, Alibi, Emily said. You know that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, Alibi said. Flattery will get you everywhere, Krish observed.
And that's why you, oh brilliant one, are perfect to handle this project, Alibi said with a flourish.
You are correct, Emily, Krish said. He is a horrible suck-up.
Yep, she agreed.
So, you're on it then, Alibi said.
Great.
Krish and Emily sighed in unison. Krish looked at her.
Jinx, he said.
Really?
She frowned.
Chapter 23.
Thank you for coming, Alibi Jones,
Kit said, welcoming him into his apartments.
Please, have a seat. Would you like some water?
Yes, thank you, Kit, Alibi said. He made his way inside and sat down.
Something is up. This is not normal behavior for Kit.
Kit returned with a glass of water.
He looks nervous, I think. Still hard to read, Dakur.
There is someone here to see you, Kit said. They did not want to be seen in public.
Kit turned and called back toward the rear of the apartment.
You can come out now.
Katie walked out of the shadows of the back hallway.
Hey, Alibi, she said. How are you?
Katie! Alibi tried to recover from his shock and surprise to say something more. He realized he'd stood up.
What? How did... Why? What brings you here? He finally managed.
She brought up such a knotted mess of tangled emotions. Part of him still loved her.
Holy shit, Katie.
You okay? He said, when she didn't answer. How's your leg?
It's fine, she said. My rodeo took care of it.
Your rodeo? He asked. She held out her hands,
and Alibi saw she had bands of the Rode substance wrapped around both of her lower arms. "They saved my life in that battle of yours last year," she said. "Now we have an understanding." "You're in control," he said. "Oh yeah," she said. "I just bring a little with me." She held up her arms, showing off the bands. "The rest surrounds my ship. That's why I didn't bring the ship into the bays. Best to use an airlock. So, control, yes. And I don't plan on letting it challenge me." "Good," he said. "I know they can. Good." She frowned. "Don't get weird on me, Alibi," Katie said. "I don't want to regret coming here. This isn't a social call." "It's not?" Alibi said. "I mean, fine, of course not, but then what brings you to the Hornet's Nest?" "A warning," she said. "Someone wants you kidnapped." Alibi's eyes grew wide. "They tried to hire me to do it," she said. "The good news is I'm a cheap bounty hunter because I'm new. They tried to hire me, so they don't have a ton of money. But someone might take the contract, and I thought you needed to know." She plowed through the information, dumping it on him. "It, took me a while to decide to tell you. He may have hired someone by now." Wait a second," Alibi said. "That's a lot to take in. Who wants me kidnapped?" "A guy who calls himself the Light," she said. "Real name is Happiness Kim. Leads a religious cult on Fortuna. You know him?" "Maybe," Alibi said. "With that last name? It's possible he's related." "My half-brother?" "Really?" she said. "Related?" "It's a guess," Alibi said. "My biological mother's last name is Kim, and she's living with a religious cult now on some planet. She could have had other kids, cousins, nieces, nephews. I wouldn't know. But that sounds so close. Too close to be coincidence, right?" "Maybe," Katie said. "Well," she looked around the room, clearly uncomfortable. "I have to go. Just wanted to let you know, Alibi." "Thank you, Katie." She nodded at him. "Thanks, Kit," she said. She looked around the room again, then made for the door. "See you guys later." Alibi looked over at Kit as the door closed behind Katie. Alibi rolled his eyes.
"She does not like anyone to be happy to see her," Kit said.
"Especially me," Alibi said.
"Yes, that is accurate," Kit said. "So, someone wants to kidnap you."
"Apparently so," Alibi said. "And I got a flash that it's my half-brother. I don't know why I know that, but it feels right."
It's almost like I felt him for a second.
Chapter 24. "Good morning." "Happiness?" Ruth answered as he walked into her room. Her son looked away, as if listening for something he'd heard a trace of on the wind, distracted. Which could be a good thing. It kept him from reading her thoughts and growing angry. He shook his head and then focused on her, as if finally noticing again she was there in her bed. "I believe Alibi Jones was just thinking about me," Hap said. "I could feel it." "Is that why you've come to see me?" Ruth asked.
"No, that just... I wanted to see how you were doing," Hap said.
"It isn't easy at my age," she said. "But when the Lord sends a miracle, it's best one doesn't complain, I suppose."
Hap came up to his mother's bed and placed his hands on her bulging abdomen.
"Have you felt him kick again?" he asked. "Not since yesterday," Ruth said. She didn't like the way Hap looked at her belly, and his hands on her felt wrong. She changed the subject.
"Who are these people you've been seeing? I've seen the ships coming in, and some evil-looking characters walking around. I don't like it."
"Don't you worry about them, Mother," he said.
"I'm interviewing people for a job. Off-world. Nothing to do with us here. Don't you worry."
"This has something to do with Alibi, doesn't it?" Why do you ask? You said you were trying to get him here, she said. And those people look like they could be bounty hunters. Or worse.
Well, it turns out I can't afford to have him killed, if that's your concern, he said, staring at her.
She could feel him inside of her mind.
Ah, yes, I see, that was part of it. No, I can barely afford to have him kidnapped and brought here. Sobering thing, really.
Please don't hurt him, Hap, she said.
You always say that, he said. You love him, but you're afraid of me. Don't say it's not true. I know. I can see it inside of you.
He glared down at her. It felt as though he were somehow squeezing her brain.
Please stop that, she said. My head hurts. I can feel that.
Good, he said, eyes boring into her skull.
Please stop.
He closed his eyes, and the pain eased. He shook his head.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
Hap looked at her the way he used to when he was 5 or 6 years old and had done something wrong.
I'm sorry, he said,
and turned away, seemingly embarrassed. He ran from the room.
And that was Chapter 24 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. We heard 23 and 22 as well. And Hap just becomes increasingly more normal. He's almost completely normal now. Oh yeah. Yes, someone is losing his already tenuous grip on what you might call reality. And Katie showing up, warning Alibi about Hap. Finally, she took her time. It's been a couple months.
Oh yeah, Alibi, by the way, this guy tried to hire me to kidnap you. You might want to watch out. Ah, Katie, thanks.
And Krish enticing Alibi with mention of the secta, the heretic, with a starseed? Which sounds way too cool. Alibi bait? Maybe. But best of all, the hornet's nest is now going to have engines. That was quite a surprise. And very much welcomed by Alibi. Well, I hope you'll be back next week to see where the story takes us as our adventure continues. Next episode, we'll hit Chapter 25. Alibi looking into going to meet the heretic. And I'm not sure yet if we're going to have two chapters or just the one. Chapter 25 is about 10 minutes long. Chapter 26 is about 17. So Chapter 26 should really run on its own, but it could run next week as well to make it a longer episode. I'm thinking. We'll see. As we get closer to the book coming out, maybe I want to go longer. I don't know. So I'm debating that back and forth. But at the very least, you've got Chapter 25 on the way next week with Alibi Jones figuring out how he can go see the heretic. But once again, I'm going to finish up on this podcast and then go finish putting the finishing touches on the different editions of this book that we've been listening to so I can get it out there into the world. The Starseeds of Earth, coming out May 22nd. At the very least, you'll be able to get the ebook on that date. And everything else is negotiable. We'll see what happens. And once again, all of my ebooks in every format are free right now. You can get every novel and the short story collections for free in whatever ebook format you read at smashwords.com. They have the Authors Give Back sale, which is still going on there at Smashwords. They've extended it now through the end of May, May 31st. So even as this book, the new book, goes on sale, you'll be able to get the old books for free. Go to smashwords.com, where you can get mine and many other books, too, as part of this promotion, the sale, the Authors Give Back sale, or just go to glowinthedarkradio.com. And head to glowinthedarkradio.com or patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio and become a patron to help support this podcast, if you are so inspired and inclined and able to do so. Be awesome to have you. $2 a month. $5 a month or $10 a month.
are the different levels. You get different cool things for free as a result of those, and you help keep the podcast going. Help me get my books out, like, you know, it's just about to happen here. And you'll get free stuff and exclusives and things early as the new book comes. Oh, yes. That's patreon.com/glowintheDarkRadio. Your support, much appreciated, if you can. And want to. You know, you can pre-order this ebook, the ebook of the novel that we're listening to. The Star Seeds of Earth is available wherever fine ebooks are sold, available as a pre-order. Not yet for the paperback or the audiobook, but soon. You can pre-order the ebook. And details are at glowinthedarkradio.com or in the show notes. That is all for this week. I hope you're back for Chapter 25, at the very least, next week, on our next episode. I'm your writer and reader, your host, Mike Luoma, reading you all this stuff. And thank you very much for listening to it, for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2020 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.